Welcome to Sanitas at sanitasradio.com. And now, here's your host, Mel Fabregas.
Greetings to everyone around the world, and a warm welcome to another edition of Sanitas at sanitasradio.com. I'm your host, Mel Fabregas, and I sincerely thank you for joining me once again. And to listen to tonight's full interview and all of our material, all you need to do is subscribe by going to sanitasradio.com. And if you would like to write to me, you would like to be a guest on this radio program, or would like to submit a guest suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. Just go to our website and click on the contact link. And like us on Facebook. Fifteen years into her career as an attorney, tonight's special guest was forced to accept that she was an addict, but it wasn't work, drugs, alcohol, or even gambling that she was hooked on. It was certainty. Every moment of her life, Allison desperately sought to know or predict what would happen next, trapping her in a spiral of anxiety, doubt, and fear. She only found hope and freedom when she discovered the life-altering mindset of the concept of maybe. Her name is Allison Carman, an author, life coach, business consultant, and blogger. Allison is the author of The Gift of Maybe, a book offering hope and possibility in the face of uncertainty. She works with a vast array of people, from entrepreneurs and owners of multi-million dollar companies to artists, attorneys, and parents. Due to her popular blog and online presence, Allison has tens of thousands of international followers, all who are embracing the mindset of maybe to deal with the fast-paced changing economic and political landscape all over the world. Allison also writes a blog for the Huffington Post and Psychology Today. Allison has made several television appearances and is a guest lecturer at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. She holds a BA in accounting and a Juris Doctor of Law, a Master's of Law in Taxation. She lives in New York City with her husband and two children. And directly from the Big Apple, I'd like to welcome Allison Carman. Hello, Allison, and welcome to Sanitas.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. And just right at the beginning, I always ask the same question. Let's begin with your story. You had an addiction, and it was not alcohol, drugs, or gambling. It was something else. Tell us your story.
I always say that I was addicted to certainty. If I didn't know what was going to happen next in my life, I imagined things were going to be bad or they weren't going to work out. And this plagued most of my life. And I think a lot of people have this addiction. They're worried that things aren't going to work out in their lives. They're worried about what the future is going to bring. So what they do is they write stories about what needs to happen for us, for them to be okay. Sometimes they could write a story that I'm going to have this job till I retire. I'm going to have this amount of money in the bank when I'm 50. My child's going to go to this college and everything's going to be okay. And we hold these stories close to our heart, and every day they make us feel safe and secure. But then one day we wake up and the unexpected happens. We could lose our job. We could not have the money. Our child could not get into that college. And all of a sudden we start to spin out of control. And then we start to say, life's not working out. Things are bad. I can't handle the unknown. And this is how I spent most of my life. I wrote stories my whole life just trying to catch up, just trying to feel better. And one day I woke up, I was very young, and I wrote this grand story of what my life would look like. I was going to grow up. I was going to become an attorney. I was going to marry this great guy. The balloons were going to come down, and I was never going to have another worry the rest of my life. And I actually pursued this. My entire youth, I pursued this goal. And I actually remember becoming an attorney, walking to work my first day at this large law firm, feeling, I've arrived. I'm safe. I'm secure. Now things are going to work out. And my first day went great, and my second day I get to the office, and my office mate turns around to me and says, hey, Allison, did you hear? They're firing half the first years. And I was a first year. And I'll never forget that moment, because it was in that moment that this big wave came over me and this realization that there would always be the unexpected. There would always be the unknown. And I couldn't handle it. And I started to actually not sleep. It started to make me feel sick. And although it opened me up to this realization, it also opened me up to a lot of fear, worry, and illness. Until one day, I heard this beautiful story by a Taoist teacher of mine. And he sat me down because I was complaining about something that I was worrying about. And he said, I'm going to tell you a story about this farmer. He had a horse, and his horse ran away. And his neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And the next day, the horse came back with five mares. And the neighbor comes by and says to the farmer, you have the best luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And the next day, the farmer's son is on the horse. He falls off and breaks his leg. And the neighbor comes by and says, you have the worst luck. And the farmer says, maybe. But the next day, the army comes to take the son to war, and he can't go because his leg is broken. And the neighbor comes by and says, you have the best luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And in the Taoist tradition, the story is supposed to mean things are neither good or bad. They just change. But for me, probably because I'm from the West, all of a sudden I felt this pop in my chest, and I was filled with hope. Because for the first time in my life, I realized every situation had maybe. I wasn't doomed if I lost my job. I wasn't stuck if my husband left me. Life will keep changing. But what happens is because we don't have the answer, the minute we want it, we automatically project the negative. But what maybe did allow me to kind of go back and recognize that in the unknown, there's always hope and possibility. There's always maybe. And it just shifted everything for me. And it was the beginning of a new life, a beginning of a life with hope instead of a life of fear and worry.
And I think that's one of the most powerful things that you say in your book, because it allows you to change your perspective. And you know, Allison, I think at one point in my life, I told you this offline, I suffered from your addiction, not knowing it was an addiction. And it wasn't until a few years ago that I decided one night to say, if I have no control over it, I better go to sleep and we'll deal with it in the morning. I'll surrender. And all of a sudden, my life changed for the better.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is if you can get to that place of surrender, you're going to be okay. That's a place of faith. But a lot of people can't get there. As hard as they try, the unknown cripples them. So you had this awakening, but some people, they just can't. So if you're not able to get to that place of surrender, maybe is a beautiful bridge to that place. Because what maybe does, it allows you to hang out in the unknown without surrendering. And hopefully, eventually, you'll get to that place so you could at least endure uncertainty with hope and possibility because you're too afraid. So at least if you're saying, okay, well, maybe everything will be okay. Maybe I could just hang on a little longer. Maybe everything is good right now. Maybe things will get better. So at least it allows you to continue each day and not suffer with all the pain and worry about what's going to happen next. And ultimately, what's interesting is that you got to this point of surrender. And I find when people are able to practice this idea of maybe in their lives and they're able to hang out in the unknown and endure uncertainty, eventually you do build faith. You do build that ability to surrender through your experiences. So it's really interesting. I didn't expect that piece. That piece actually came to me after the book. I had clients come to me and they're like, hey, Allison, I don't really use the word maybe anymore because I've surrendered, because the unknown is my best friend. Because if you think about it, if you want your life to change, it has to happen in the unknown. So when you go to sleep at night, you have a problem and you're so afraid how it's going to work out. It's the uncertain future that holds the answer. And the minute we start to have a better relationship with the uncertain future, that's when life changes.
And that's why you didn't even have to use the word maybe, because it's implied, it's accepted, it's the unknown. What is your definition of maybe?
Maybe is hope without attachment. And that's why it's so beautiful. Because I think the Buddha said that all desires lead to attachment, all attachment leads to suffering. So what happens is that when we make a goal or we want something to happen in our lives, we get very fixed on how it has to happen. And even though we try to unhook it, like let's say we want to build a business and we go out and we pitch this client, we don't get the client, you know, we start to feel bad. My business is not working out. Things are not going as planned. I didn't make as much money this month as I thought. And it's the attachment, because the goal was clean. The goal was like, I just want a successful business. But then every day we get wrapped up in these stories we tell ourselves. It's going to be this client. It's going to be this quarter. This is the thing that's going to save me. So what maybe does, it allows you to have hope with the goal, hope that I'm going to build my business, but you don't get attached to how it happens. So it just keeps, you know, just you unhook again and again and again, because when you don't get that client, you're like, well, maybe that's okay. And again, it sounds so simple. All I said was maybe, but that little thought frees you, it unhooks you from the way it has to be. And the minute you're not forcing things to be a certain way, you're opening up and life starts to change. So I would define it as hope without attachment. And then you're free to believe in possibilities. You're free to set goals. You're free to have desires and dreams, but you're not going to suffer for them. And that's where we get hurt.
Do you think we have unrealistic expectations and when they don't materialize, that's when things crumble around us and we lose control and hope.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'd call it unrealistic expectations. I think I would say that we have goals, and we have stories of how life needs to be for us to be okay. And maybe we're saying the same thing, I'm not sure, but that's what gets us into trouble, that I need this to happen to be happy. I need this to happen to be successful. I need this to happen in order to get this job. And we forget that we're not always in control, like you said. So what maybe allows us to do, it allows us to set the goals, but be flexible and fluid. Because if that goal's not going to happen, well, maybe another one will. So we could say it's the expectations, we could call them attachments, but it's just we think we know how it has to be. And we're always going to be hurt. We're always going to be disappointed. We're always going to live in fear and worry. So that's the piece that if we could just unhook from that, but we can't. The reason we can't unhook from that because we're so scared that one thing didn't happen and now we're doomed and now we're stuck and now life's never going to get better. So that's where I think, that's where it kind of moves, I think.
And that's the problem, that you have one incident like that and all of a sudden your past rules your future. And it doesn't have to be that way. But for the listeners who are asking, how can maybe help me? How can it maybe help us?
Okay. Well, there's a great exercise. My favorite exercise of all the maybe exercises is actually in the first chapter of the book. And it's very simple. I tell people to write their biggest fear down. What's your biggest fear? What's bothering you? Let's say you're afraid you're going to lose your job. So you could write, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid that if I lose my job, I'll never get another job. I'm afraid if I lose my job, I won't be able to pay my mortgage. And then you start projecting, if I can't pay my mortgage and I don't get another job, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to send my kids to college. I'm afraid my wife's going to leave me. I mean, it's amazing how one fear then it grows into three fears and five fears and six fears. And you could actually have a panic attack from one thought. And what you do is after you write all these fears down, ask yourself, am I absolutely certain, 100% certain that this fear is true? And most of the time, we can't know for certain. Even though you think you're going to lose your job, you're not 100% sure. And you're not 100% sure if you're never going to get another job. And you're not 100% sure you're not going to be able to pay your mortgage. So as you go down the line of your fears, you realize, okay, I'm not 100% sure that these fears will manifest. These fears are true. What else is there? And then you go to the maybe statements. And I could almost guarantee somebody that if they're willing to sit there for 20 minutes and write these maybe statements out one after the other after the other, you're going to have a break in the fear. You're going to have an opening because you're going to recognize that there's more that's possible. We feel doomed because we think life has to be one way and we forget it's filled with possibilities, but we don't believe in them because we can't see them in the moment. So what the maybe exercise does, it gets you thinking, okay, maybe I won't lose my job. Maybe this is the best thing that could have happened to me. Maybe I want to change careers. Maybe everything is still okay. And it just kind of shifts you to this place of fear and doom to openings, possibilities, and hope. And even if you don't know the answer, you're going to have this different mindset, this larger perspective on life. And I think it really makes a huge difference, especially when people are suffering, just to give them a little hope. It's like a platform. It's funny because it doesn't give you the answer, but at the same time, it gives you a place to stand within the unknown, to say, okay, I don't know, but just because I don't know doesn't mean it's going to be bad. And that's huge for people because the minute they don't know, they're projecting bad, fear, doom, gloom, but it doesn't have to be that way. Because the minute you're in maybe, you recognize, oh, look, the unknown is going to offer me my answers. And if you think about it, well, you're in the worst place of your life, the unknown is your best friend because that's where it's going to change. That's where the goodies are. So if we could just start to shift this, then life is going to change. And I think that exercise is very profound. And I ask anybody listening, sit down, it's easy, and try it. And I almost guarantee you'll have a shift. And even if it's a 10% shift or a 20% shift, you're suffering 20% less. And there's a little more light in your life. And that's worth everything. A little light goes a long way. I think you know this. It's the beginning. Give somebody a little hope, and it's just going to grow within them.
And one other aspect that I like about your book is that you include a lot of stories to illustrate the maybe point. There's another story, and we've heard of Michael Phelps, the Olympic medalist. Can you share the story of what happened before he became so famous?
Well, the great story about Michael Phelps is because when you see him, you know, you see his body and you see his muscles and he looks so strong and ambitious and successful, you would think a guy like him wouldn't have a worry in the world, wouldn't have a doubt in the world. And it turns out before the 2008 Olympics, he actually had a microfracture on his wrist. And he wanted to win. I think he was looking to win the world record of how many medals you can win, gold medals you can win at an event. And he was like, I'm finished. It's over. I'm not going to be able to do this. And he got that. His coach actually forced him to get back into the pool, and he couldn't use his arm. So he just had to kick. And all he could do was kick. And he ended up healing and was able to go to the Olympics. But what's so interesting about that story that his kick had improved so much that he actually broke a world record just because his kick got him to the wall before anybody else. So, and he ended up breaking the records and winning more medals than anyone, gold medals than anyone had won before. So it was interesting that he thought when he hurt his wrist that it was a bad thing. But it ended up being the thing that strengthened his legs, and it ended up being the thing that helped him the most. So that's life. Right? We never know. We think we know. We think what's happening is bad, but we have no idea. And if in that moment when we think something's bad is happening, if we can embrace maybe, we're going to suffer less, and then we're going to open up to all that's possible. So for him, his coach said, get in the pool, and he listened. But often, we stop trying. The minute a business doesn't work out, the minute a relationship's not going exactly as we thought, the minute our child's not doing well in school, we have a tendency to shut down because, like you said before, it's not what we expected. But with maybe we could sit with it. We could actually lean into it. We could lean into our child not doing well in school and say, well, maybe that's okay. Maybe I need to get them a tutor. Maybe they don't need to do well at math. And all of a sudden, there's a pop, there's a release, and all of a sudden, you're open to maybe what your child's supposed to be pursuing. Same thing with work, same thing with love. It's a huge mind shift and a new perspective, and I really think it's a game changer to suffer less and achieve more.
Is fear the culprit here? For example, take Michael Phelps. He had a microfracture on his wrist, and he thought, my fear of failure. But luckily, he had a coach who pushed him.
Right.
Over the edge, and he was able to conquer that. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Is fear the culprit?
I think fear is, but the ultimate fear is that we're not okay. That's the ultimate fear. It even goes beyond our dreams and beyond our goals. We don't feel safe. We don't feel secure about life. And you can understand that because there's a lot of stuff that happens in life. I mean, we're asked to feel safe and secure when we hear someone got hit by a car, when we hear our friend died of a heart attack when they were 50, when we hear that ISIS is attacking people in France and in Belgium. We're asked to feel secure when we see the world around us is moving so quickly. And so I think that, yes, it's this fear that we're not safe, that we're not secure. And we just want that. That's why we want the certainty. We want to know that we have our place in the world. We want to know that we have a place where everything's going to be okay. And we'll always have enough money. We'll always have enough love. We'll never be in danger. And if we're going to be open and we're going to be honest about it, yeah, there's a lot of fear out there. But there's also a lot of good out there and a lot of hope and a lot of possibility. And I think that, maybe in fear, maybe that, quite possibly, maybe could take you from fear to hope. Maybe what we could say is maybe is a bridge from fear to hope, because it allows us to see, okay, you could be afraid, but maybe something else could happen other than your greatest fear. So,
it's interesting how perhaps the darkest moments in someone's life could actually be disguised as new possibilities. I remember a few of those in my life, and they turn out to be bridges to where I am today. And in retrospect, I would not change those moments for anything. And they really gave me a new meaning to the saying, it's darkest before dawn.
Right. And in that moment, though, some people shut down. It seems to me, in your moment, it opened you. Even though it hurt, it opened you and it thrusted you forward to this new beginning. But I meet a lot of people who, when they have that moment, they just shut down. They just shut down and they don't move forward. And they don't look at it as a new beginning. They look at it as an ending. And then that's where they springboard off of the fact my life didn't work out. And then every choice is made from that premise. My life's not working out. So they take a job for less money. They take a relationship. They settle in. All these things because they believe what happened to them wasn't okay. So if what's really fascinating about it is that our fear of the unknown actually is the foundation for everything we do in our lives. Because if we don't deal with this relationship with uncertainty, we're not going to go forward and start the business we want. We're not going to enter the relationship. We're not going to be able to be the best parent we want to be. So it's interesting. It's actually beneath all these relationships is this one fear, the fear I can't handle the unknown. So I'm never going to take the risk. I'm never going to stretch myself. I'm never really going to pursue my passions in life. So yes, if you could see that darkest moment as a beginning, then you're going to blossom. But a lot of people see it as an ending, and then they go forward from there. And that's a very painful way to live and a very limited way to live.
Let's talk about linear thinking for a moment. We've been trained to think in a sequential manner, like a straight line. In the bigger picture, do you think linear thinking tends to derail our goals? And this is one of the reasons why we fear uncertainty, since we're led to believe that there is a right and a wrong way for our lives to unfold?
Yeah, I think that's a really very strong premise of why we don't try new things in our lives, because we believe things can only be one way. And of course, there are times when you need linear thinking. If someone breaks their leg, if a house is burning down, the fire trucks are going to come. There's a way that they know to put out the fire. There are things in life that there are rules and they should be followed. But for most things that happen in our lives, things are going to go different ways. And if we're not willing to accept the turn, then we're going to have a problem, because then we're just going to keep banging our head against the wall. This should be working out. This should be happening. And we're going to be in a lot of pain, and we're not going to be willing to pursue the things that we want in our lives. So, yes, I think that this idea of linear thinking has its place, but most things that will happen to in our lives, if we're not open and we're not flexible and we're not willing to see life in a larger perspective, we're going to suffer greatly, and we're not going to achieve our goals. And for me, it's the suffering that, and I know you've had a similar experience, it's the suffering that really destroys us. It's the suffering that we're not okay, life's not working out. And that's why maybe it's so liberating, because if you're in this linear place where you think, this is how it has to be for me to be okay, this is the job that I need, this is the client that I need, if you don't get that client, then you're going to be devastated and you might not pursue your goals. But with maybe, you're just going to look at it and you're always going to be, it's like you said, that new beginning. Every single moment's a new beginning with maybe, because no matter what happens, you're looking at this moment and you realize there are possibilities from this moment. There's hope from this moment, no matter what you face. So that's what makes it so powerful, that it allows you to go in a straight line. I want to achieve this goal. I'm going to do A, I'm going to do B, I'm going to do C. But if you get to C, and it's not quite working out with maybe, you're not going to suffer and you're going to allow yourself to kind of veer in a different direction. But if you insist that this is how it has to be, I see a lot of people, they don't end up not achieving their goals because they say, if it's not this way, then I can't achieve my goal. And that's so sad, because they probably were pretty close to manifesting something. They just needed to go a different way. But again, the fear of uncertainty is so great for people that they don't have the resilience and the strength to carry on. So what maybe is, it's, there are a lot of tools to help people in life, and maybe it's just one of those tools that help us deal with the unknown, which I think is such an important relationship in anything that we do in life.
I remember Bruce Lee used to say, be water, my friend, because adjusts to every surface, the holes that go through it. So you have to be fluid and flexible in life, because if not, expectations, that's the problem. And I'm sure most people love the idea of maybe in the abstract, but why do we have so much trouble moving past this linear thought that we're talking about?
Again, I think because we're afraid if we don't know how it's going to happen, we can't handle it. And then, like you said, we don't have the surrender to believe it'll still happen anyway. It's like we're asked to walk in the dark and have faith. We're asked to know, okay, you have no idea how this is going to happen, but keep walking that way. It's scary for people. And I think that's why they don't want to look beyond the linear thought, because they're asked to embrace this huge unknown and just keep walking forward and know that their kids are going to be okay and their job's going to be okay and their wife's going to be okay. It's a lot to ask. And I have compassion for anybody who suffers in this area. And so I think the people who have faith, the people who have surrender, they're just going to dance in it. They're going to be like water. They're going to actually revel. They're going to be happy and blossoming and moving and shaking and being like, this is great. Life is such a beautiful experience. Everything I experience, I love. But for those of us who fear the unknown, we're not going to be able to do that dance. And so what I hope people listening to the show will understand is that maybe is a way to get to the dance, because it allows you to do what those people who are surrendering are doing and people who are having faith. It's a cognitive way to get to that place where you could be more free, free with everything, free with your thoughts, and allow yourself to kind of just dig the unknown. And that's where it'll shift. And I do think, like, I know in my own life, I've been able to surrender more because of this idea, because I've allowed myself to hang out on uncertainty. And I see, wow, the more I'm in the unknown, the more great things happen to me, the less I'm suffering, the more I'm achieving. And so then I'll start to have faith in a certain area of my life. So when something doesn't happen, I can let go and say, oh, okay, well, maybe that's okay. And maybe I'm still okay. Maybe something else will happen. And then, of course, my addiction to certainty will pop up in another area of my life, and I'll have to deal with it then. So it's a great be able to kind of, you know, be in that dance, regardless of whether you could surrender or not.
It's almost like an obsession, obsessive compulsion disorder in a way. Looking at a crooked print or a painting, I can't help it but just go and fix it every time. And now sometimes I just walk by and I say, you know what, tomorrow, maybe the day after, it's okay. And as you progress in life and you let other things go, it feels liberated. But do you think the victim mentality plays a role here? In other words, we say, this should not have been happening to me. I should have known this was going to happen. These thoughts plague us once in a while. Does the idea of maybe replace the victim mentality with possibilities?
I think it does, because we feel victimized because, again, something happened that we weren't expecting, or that shouldn't have happened. And look, and there are some things which, you know, that I'm not going to sit here and try to explain when some really horrible things happen to people, because I honestly don't know why they happen. But a lot of times, you know, we feel a victim, like we said, when we don't get the job, or we feel a victim when we're not invited to a party, or we feel a victim, you know, because we're so sure that should have happened to us. So yeah, I think that when you engage in maybe, you're even willing to look at those minor hurts, or the things you don't get, or the things you don't have. You're willing to sit and say, well, maybe that's okay, and maybe this is going to change, and maybe I need to learn something, and maybe there's something else for me to engage in, and maybe there are more possibilities, or maybe that'll happen for me tomorrow. So again, it's allowing you to feel hopeful. It's allowing you to sit in the moment with less pain, with less worry. And I think it does. It shifts the victim mentality, because instead of focusing on what you're not getting, you're focusing on what's possible. And that's a change in life. That's a great life, to be always sitting and saying, what's possible in this moment? So I think it does. It shifts society, because I think that's a thing that's happening now, is that we're all so busy saying what we're not getting, we're forgetting that there's so much out there. There's so much hope. There's so much possibility. But we're all just cutting off from it because we can't stand about what's happening in this moment. So, yes, I think it could really shift that mentality.
What about visualization? How important of a tool is this?
I think visualizations work for some people. It depends. Like, what's so interesting is that you write a book and you think you know how everyone's going to receive it. And then you get people, you know, calling you and writing you and saying, oh, yes, I love that first exercise in the book, but visualizations don't work for me. Or I love this mantra, but, you know, visualizations don't work. And other people are like, the visualization that you gave me in the book changed my life. So I think that visualizations are very powerful for certain people. And maybe it comes down to how people function. Like, some people are better, you know, visualizing things. Some people are better repeating things. It just depends who you are. But I think there are a lot of people have had a lot of success. In the book, there are a bunch of visualizations about when people are making choices in their lives and how they could use maybe. And certain people have really flourished with them. They say that before they're about to make any big decision, they actually do those exercises in the book. And other people, like, forget all that. I say the word maybe, and it clicks me out of my worry, and then I'm open. So I think it depends on the person.
Well, I have to tell you, I have used visualization throughout life. But when I was taught of the concept decades ago, like many, I thought this was just New Age mumbo jumbo. So I didn't believe back then. But when I truly focused and believed it, that it could be true, guess what? I've been able to materialize my goals multiple times. So it was not just a coincidence. It happened multiple times. And every time, it was one of those moments where no hope was in sight. It's almost as if a powerful force is truly listening. However, we don't ask that often or believe that it's not possible.
Right. But what's interesting is that what you just said is when you visualize, you're in maybe. So it's almost like there's no hope on the mental, on the mind level. There's no hope. This I'm looking at this situation that can't work out. But when I visualize, right, I'm visualizing things differently. I'm opening up. I'm looking at this situation, but I'm saying maybe there's more. Maybe there's something else. Or just one grand big maybe. Right? And even though you have a goal, and even though you have a desire, there is this thought within that goal and desire, because you're so open that maybe, I don't know how it's going to happen, but there's so much maybe, there's so much possibility. So visualizations, I guess, are one grand big maybe. I guess we could call it that.
Well, I see life like a flow chart now. You know, before it was, if no, that's it. Now I see it. Okay. If no, then this. If yes, then that. There's always a possibility to handle even a no. But give us an example of visualization to resolve a problem.
Well, I think what happens is sometimes when people are faced with a problem, they can't get in touch with how they're feeling about it. I know that, like, I had this client once who, it was during the 08 crash. And the 08 crash was a crazy time for a lot of people, because everything they thought was real, everything they thought was solid, they found out that it wasn't. I mean, I know we all know that the stock market was crashing, banks weren't, there was no credit, they weren't giving credit, people weren't buying, everyone was scared. And I had this client who had this beautiful store in Manhattan, and he was selling artisan lamps. And I happened to stop by and visit him one day, and I had no idea that he was going through a terrible time, but it turned out when I got there, he hadn't paid his rent for his apartment in 3 months. He hadn't paid his lease for his retail space for 3 months. He wasn't selling any lamps, and he was just sitting there, and he was so stuck, and he was so aggravated, and he looked at me and said, "Allison, I'm either going to go back to France." That's where he originally came from. I'm going to go back to France and call this quits, or I'm going to file for bankruptcy. And he was just suffering. And because there was so much going on in his mind at that moment, he really couldn't see. There was so much fear, like we talked about before. He couldn't really see straight. He didn't know. So I asked him to do this visualization. And what I asked him to do is imagine the bankruptcy was a door that was right in front of his face. With nothing around it. And then I asked him to pull it away, close your eyes, and pull the idea of the bankruptcy away. But first, when it was close to him, I said, "How does it make you feel?" He says, "It makes me feel terrible. It makes me feel like I'm choking, like I can't breathe." And I said, "Well, pull that away. Pull the bankruptcy door away from you. How does it feel?" And he said, "Oh, I feel breath." And then I said, "Well, put a door in front of you and imagine that's you going back to France. How does that make you feel?" And again, he said, "I feel horrible. It feels like I can't breathe." I'm like, "Pull that away from you and see that as a door floating in the air. How does it make you feel?" He goes, "I feel lighter." I said, "Well, now imagine you have two doors in front of you, a bankruptcy door and a door going back to France. And now imagine there's all this other space around there. There's other things. There's white space. There's brown space. There's blue. All this other space exists. How do you feel?" He says, "I feel like I have breath. I feel like I have hope. I feel like I have possibility." And I asked him to go home and just visualize that other space. Visualize and call it maybe. And just hang out there and feel it and be with that. Be with something other than those two things you thought were your only two choices. And he called me up the next day and his whole perspective changed. Because he was willing to visualize something other than the bankruptcy and other than going back to France, all of a sudden it occurred to him. It occurred to him what he wanted to do. And what he ended up doing is he ended up negotiating out the lease. He ended up moving to Brooklyn. He ended up putting his business online. And today he's so successful. He's starting his own furniture line. He's one of my most successful clients. But he couldn't see it because he couldn't visualize it, because all he was looking at were the two things in front of him that he believed were the only possibilities. So for him, the visualization was so powerful. It didn't create exactly a flow chart, but what it did allowed him to visualize more beyond two possibilities. And that's when I think visualizations are so possible, because it wasn't in front of him, but he was able to visualize beyond it and in this open space. So I think that was very powerful.
Many, and people probably don't know, that many famous people have gone through bankruptcy before. People think that it's just failure, but sometimes it's a necessity. And before they became truly successful, name a few, Henry Ford, Walt Disney, to name a few. And by the way, an example in visualization were these radio programs I conduct now, which began 3 months after the September 2008 market crash, which affected all my businesses. I was in real estate. I have businesses, which I still do have, but they were affected severely at the time, like everybody else. So I visualized something new. I visualized myself behind a microphone and thousands of people listening, to the point that I had a dream that guided me to begin this new venture. And this is my new profession. So visualization works.
That's amazing. That's really beautiful. Really is. To allow yourself, you obviously allowed yourself. It also takes courage. It's an act of courage to allow yourself to visualize, isn't it? It's an act of self-love. It's an act of believing that there's something more than what you see within your eyes, when you see with the senses you're so used to using in life. It's amazing. I think that visualization is an act of courage, and that's really amazing that that tool has helped you so much. And I know it helps thousands of people. It's amazing.
And it's important, because when you visualize, your ego tries to take over. And your ego says, no, you're not capable of doing this. You're not going to be able to do that. But if you remove that and you say, shut up, ego, I don't want to listen to you right now. I know you're a defense mechanism, but leave me alone for a moment. It happens. So what is the common reaction from some of your clients when they're introduced to the idea of maybe?
Well, that's so interesting that you ask that. It depends on who they are. I think sometimes there's resistance to it. Some people just eat it up. Some people literally, they are just so ready for it that the minute you just have them say, maybe everything is still okay, or maybe this is good, or maybe it'll get better, or maybe you don't know the answer right now and that's okay, all of a sudden, it just, they feel the click. They feel that freedom of not feeling doomed. And other people who, they just want to know. They just want to know the answer. And if they can't see the answer, they're feeling horrible. They're feeling worried. They can't imagine life ever changing. So I have to work with them over periods of time. I have to do the exercises with them, teach them the visualizations in the book, teach them the mantra, and then they have to go out in life and actually have that experience. And they can resist it. Because remember, there's a big resistance in our whole society. Everybody wants to know. Our whole society is based on knowing, and they're experts, and this is what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. But I think that's why everybody's so afraid. Because I think deep down, people feel like they really don't know, and they want to know. And so there's this, you know, back and forth all the time. So I think it takes practice. But I think the minute you go out into your life, and you're worried, and you're stressed, or a situation just pops into your life you didn't expect, and you use this little word, and all of a sudden you feel that freedom, boom, then you're going to be into maybe. But you have to have the experience. That's the most profound. Even if you read the book and you're a little moved by it, it's when you go out into life. And then you'll know. The minute you don't feel stressed, the minute you don't feel worried, the minute you feel more hope, more possibility, then that's when it becomes a game changer. And it might not always work. Some people it works all the time. Some people they can't handle what they're facing, and there's not enough maybe in their life to make it different. It just depends where you are in your life. But if you sit with it and you stay with it, eventually maybe will guide you to where you need to be.
Very interesting. I need this thought. That we need to listen to the experts all the time. And how many times your gut feeling has told you otherwise? And no matter how many experts come along, your initial gut reaction was right, but you didn't listen. Why? Because we are trained to always look outwardly and not inwardly.
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things people come to me with, like, oh, well, you know, my parents said I could never do this, but I always really wanted to, so I didn't pursue this. Or everyone told me I was crazy and I had this great idea. It takes a lot of courage, right? It takes a tremendous amount of courage to listen to your gut and not to listen to the experts. And I think that's also why maybe is so great. I remember when I first wrote my book, I had this offer. I wasn't a writer at the time. I was doing business consulting and business coaching. And this fellow handed me a card after he met me. And he's like, when you're ready to write your first book, call me. And I remember I wrote this whole long, I don't even know what you want to call it, just pages and pages and pages of my thoughts. And when I handed it in, he said to me, oh, he's like, you need to either, you know, take a writing class or get an editor. This is terrible. And then everybody was telling me, you're never going to get a book deal. It's never going to happen. It's so crazy out there. Just forget it. And because I was living in maybe, because I wasn't listening to him, I wasn't listening to the experts, I wasn't looking to people in the industry, I just was living in maybe. I'm like, well, maybe this could happen, and maybe people just aren't getting it, maybe I just didn't push forward. And then I got an agent, and when I got my agent, I was rejected 45 times. And when I would read the rejections, it literally, it was just like, well, this book, I don't think anyone's ever going to pick it up. It's really just like positive thinking. Da, da, da. And I didn't listen. They were the publishers. They quote unquote knew. I listened to nobody. I just knew this was helping so many people alleviate their suffering. I wasn't going to stop. And I didn't listen to anybody. And I stayed with my intuition. I stayed with maybe. And then I ended up self-publishing the book originally. And I gave it away for free for 3 days, and 30,000 people downloaded the book. And it became an Amazon bestseller. And then within weeks, I had offers from a bunch of big publishers. And that's how Penguin Random House picked up my book. But it was because I stayed in maybe, and I listened to my inner voice. But again, it was because of maybe I was able to. Because when someone would say something, I would say, well, maybe that's not true. Maybe I can get a publishing deal, and maybe something else could happen. Maybe I just don't have the answer right now, and maybe everything is okay. So no matter what was happening around me, I kept letting go of these statements that were coming to me because they didn't feel right. They didn't feel like that's what was supposed to happen. And at the same time, I was witnessing all these people around me that were healing from this work, from this maybe, that were suffering less. I have clients who were on the verge of bankruptcy who grew their businesses to multi-million-dollar businesses. I have clients who filed bankruptcy, but with maybe they began again. So I saw all these things happening. And so no matter what people were telling me about the industry, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. So, yeah, I think that we can't always listen to the experts. I mean, if we're going to a doctor and we have an illness, I mean, I think there are times when we need to. But there are also times when we're just living our own life and we're listening to everyone else's voice. I'm sure you had that when you changed your life and you started all the, when you were visualizing. I'm sure everybody wasn't on board with all your initial visualizations.
Well, I just love listening to stories like yours because it's so motivating for me, for the listeners. How many times was I called a dreamer by my family, by my friends, by colleagues? And I used to listen. I used to listen to them and I used to think, well, if everybody's telling me the same thing, they must be right. Until one day I said, wait a second, could it be that they just don't want to see me rise above them? And I remember when I started the first radio program, I decided to go to a radio consultant for advice. And the first thought that came out of his mouth was, you don't have a prayer of a chance. I could have just basically ended it right there. But I said, this is one man's opinion. Right. What if it happens? What if maybe I'm able to make it? And thankfully, it did happen.
Right. Right. And you know what's so interesting about other people's opinions? They're from their own life experiences, possibly their fears, possibly their inability to deal with the unknown, possibly their inability to let go of the past. So we also don't even know the origin of why someone says something. We only know the origin of our own thoughts and our own experiences. So really the most trustworthy person we have in our lives is really ourselves. But we have to get to that place where we know that.
So your clients, do they worry that, because part of this is letting go, do they worry that if they let go of their past experiences, they will also be letting go of the wisdom they have gained along the way?
Oh, sure. That's one of the biggest things people say to me, especially when it comes to business. Because when people come and their businesses aren't working out, and I'm asking them to engage in maybe, they think I'm asking them to give up all their know-how, everything they've ever learned. And I always say, I'm not asking you to give up your clients. I'm not asking you to give up your products. I'm asking you to give up this fear that if you don't do things the same way, you're going to go out of business. And if you don't do things the same way, you're doomed. And if you don't do things the same way, you're out. No, I'm asking you to hold on to your wisdom because everybody has wisdom. We gain wisdom through business. We gain wisdom through experiences because we do learn. But what we also do is we get so stuck on how it used to be. We think we always have to do things the same way. Or when something goes wrong, we can say, oh, I can never do it that way again. So what we need to do is we need to show up in this moment, free of the past, and with our wisdom. No one could take our wisdom away. Nobody. It's ingrained in us. It's part of us. It's how we became wise. It's a thing with. It's almost becomes like the fiber of our being. It's in us. But the past is usually something that's creating just fear. And so, yeah, so it's hard sometimes for people, especially in business, to say, okay, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to separate my wisdom from my fear? And it really happens naturally. If you're willing to be fully present in the moment and say, I'm committed to look at my business, how it is in the moment, and I'm committed to say, maybe it doesn't have to be the same way. Maybe this is a new moment. Maybe I can get different clients. Maybe I could start a new project. Maybe I need to do new marketing. If you're willing to sit there in this open space, I can almost guarantee people that the past thoughts will fall away and the wisdom will guide you to a new place. I've seen it 1,000 times. And it's really a hook people have because they're just afraid. Sometimes people would rather sit with what they know, even if it's wrong or even if it's painful, because there's some, maybe it's like that old shoe, you know, you kind of put it on and it feels comfortable, even though, you know, there are holes in it. And so it's hard for people. But if they're willing to commit to the process, they're going to find a new beginning and they're going to find a new way to do things. And again, during the 08 crash, that was the biggest thing I faced with people because they knew their businesses weren't working, but it's all they knew. So maybe it's this great place because you could open up to new things at the same all the time. It doesn't mean you're going to shut your business down. You're not going to shut your wisdom down, but you're going to allow yourself to use the wisdom and to the opening of what can possibly happen next in your life.
Well, this is what I told some people when the 08 crash happened. A lot of them lost their businesses, as employees lost their jobs. And I would tell some of my employees that we had to let go at the time, you need to switch now. You need to switch to learn something new. Because if you keep on the same and there's low demand at this present moment, you won't be able to get a job. But I guarantee you, even in the worst moments, there's demand for something. And some of them realized they went home, you know, take an inventory of what you know how to do and find out if there's a need out there. And guess what? They became self-employed. They started setting this or that. And that was a great moment for some of them.
Yeah. And again, it comes down to who could handle the uncertainty, who could live in the unknown and try something new and who can't. So again, it comes down to that relationship that we have, because obviously the people who you told that were willing to take that chance were willing to have some uncertainty in their life. And the funny thing is that they probably ended up in a better place than the people who were grabbing on to what they knew but at the same time wasn't working. So it's that relationship again and again and again that's either going to – the relationship with uncertainty is either going to allow us to flourish and have new beginnings and have an expansive life, or it's going to limit us and cause us a tremendous amount of suffering depending what we choose to do with it.
Now, we've heard the sayings – there are two goals in life, maximize pleasure and minimize pain. We don't seem to accept that pain is part of life and choose the path of least resistance to avoid fear of the unknown. What happens when we embrace the philosophy of maybe?
When it comes to, I'm not sure what the question is, when it comes to...
Well, we always try to find the path of least resistance to make us comfortable. And again, I don't mean to judge because people are right now listening, thinking, I don't know, my job is going to be around. I have a husband, a wife, kids to support. Right. And, you know, what happens when you embrace that philosophy of maybe things change, don't they?
They 100% change. Even if you stay at the job, it changes. It's just allowing you to see that life's not fixed. And because it's not fixed, you have hope and possibility at every moment of your life. And sometimes that scares people a little bit because they just want to hold on to how it is. But we all know life changes. And the more we're going to be open to that change, the more likely we are that we're going to weather it in the best way. We're going to end up in the better place. And we're not going to suffer and we're not going to limit ourselves. We're constantly limiting ourselves because we're turning our back on all that can be. So with maybe, it kind of gives us enough courage to kind of turn around and say, okay, I realize I don't know what's going to happen next, but maybe that's okay. And maybe what's happening is good. And maybe it's going to get better. Or maybe I could accept what I'm experiencing and still be okay. I mean, that's powerful too. Sometimes we don't like what's happening in our lives. And it's something that we have to face. But just because we face it doesn't mean we're not going to be okay tomorrow, or doesn't mean, or maybe life's just changing. You know, sometimes life changes, and maybe it'll never be, you'll never be as happy as you were yesterday, but there's still something in this moment that is here. You're here, and there's hope, and there's breath, and there's maybe. And it reminds me, I gave my book once, when I self-published my book, I gave my book to a fellow who had just lost his wife. And 2 weeks later, he came up to me, and he said, Allison, he goes, I hated your book. It was horrible. He goes, my wife died. My life is never going to get better, and I don't want to hear about this maybe. And for a long time, I was so taken back. Should I not have given in the book? Does maybe not work all the time? And it really caused me to, you know, have a great pause. And 2 years later, he came up to me and he said, Allison, I know what I said to you. He goes, but I want to thank you. He goes, because after 6 months of mourning and being sad, he goes, at that moment, I couldn't see it. I was so sad. My whole life, I thought it was never going to be the same. But after 6 months, I woke up one day and I realized I'm still here. And I actually said to myself, maybe there's something else possible for me. And he actually has a girlfriend today. And it doesn't mean that he's happier with his girlfriend than he was his wife, because it's not about that. It's about that he was still on this earth. He still had a life to live. So he used maybe to create a new platform. So again, it's not about better or worse. It was like, okay, here I am, and maybe there's still something for me to experience. And it was really profound for him, and it was also profound for me to see that it's not about better or worse. It's just about here I am, and maybe there's something more. Maybe there's something less. Maybe there's just something in this very moment that I can experience that can be pleasurable.
I think also it's because we don't seem to look at the present, which is the gift, a present. We see, and again, without being judgmental, but we see so many people suffering from depression because they're stuck in the past. People with anxiety because they're stuck in the future. And we don't seem to look at what's happening today. The other day, I had a thought, and I posted it on Facebook, talking about the perspective of how I see things. I said, when I was younger, my thoughts were split as follows. 80% strong opinion, 20% open-minded. Today, I find those ratios flipped. 80% open-minded, 20% strong opinion. My results are less mental clutter, happier, balanced, accepting and at peace with my thoughts. My view has more shades of gray versus black or white. Is accepting that our life is composed of shades of gray, Allison, rather than black or white, somewhat embracing the idea of maybe?
First of all, that's so beautiful what you wrote. That's really beautiful that you're able to live in 80% open-mindedness. It really is. What a great way to live. You must have a lot less suffering since it's flipped, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we want the black and white because we want to know that we're okay. We want to know that we're safe. But it's a very limited view of life. And it's a very painful way of life because, in a sense, we're holding on, right, to the black and white when things are changing. So that's going to create suffering, holding on to something that no longer is. So I think you're asking is the gray is where all the goodies are, right? That's where everything's going to happen.
That's right.
I mean, you living in this 80-20 space, it's because you're living in that 80, you know, that 80% space of openness, of grayness, that you're willing to explore. If you think about it, if you're willing to go out there, of course you're going to find more in your life. Of course you're going to manifest more in your life if you're willing to be okay with it. But a lot of people are too worried. They're too scared to actually have that experience. So I think this idea of maybe allows people to live in the 80%, allows them to go out there and say, okay, I have no idea, but maybe it's still okay. Maybe this is good, and maybe I could still have hope, and maybe I could still have possibilities. And it makes you leave that other place where this is bad. I don't know. It can never work out. If it was going to work out, I would know it by now. It takes us out of that place where we could be peaceful and we could be present. See, that's the most amazing thing about maybe. It allows us to be present, because what it does is, once you see maybe the past will never happen again, maybe I don't need to look at that anymore, maybe everything is okay, you stop holding on to the past as much. And the minute you can look into the future and say, well, maybe I don't need to worry about that, and maybe I just need to wait, and maybe everything will still be okay, the projections stop. So with maybe, you could stop some of the projections, and you could stop some of holding on to the past, and where do you land? You land in the moment. So for me, when I'm worried and I'm projecting, the minute I enter that realm of maybe, all of a sudden I go, boom, I go right into the present. When I'm in the present, my life is beautiful. My life is peaceful. My life is wonderful. So for me, it cuts all that chatter out. Some people meditate and some people do all these things. My mind chatter gets cut off the minute I say the word maybe, because I know I don't know. And just because I don't know, I still have hope. And for me, that's enough. I think that, and then I'm done. Smile the rest of the day.
And we have to take our one and only break. But when we come back, I want you to discuss the story of Keith. What a fascinating story that is. And I don't like to talk about myself or my stories during this show, but because I've gone through some of this myself, I want you to know that it's possible for you, folks who are listening, that it can happen to you for the better. All of this when we come back. The book, The Gift of Maybe, by Alison Carman. Alison, how can people buy the book?
It's sold at all the major bookstores, and it's also sold on all the major online retailers at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's really offered all over the place.
And I really, really enjoyed it, because once you read it, you connect with it. You wrote it in such a way that it's almost like you wrote it for me. Very individualized. This is the way I took it. So when we come back, so much more. Folks, don't go anywhere. This is Mel Fabregas, and you're listening to Sanitas. Don't go anywhere. Thank you for listening to the first segment of this very important Sanitas interview. If you enjoyed it and wish to listen to the rest, go to sanitasradio.com, click on Members or Subscribe, or tell someone else who will enjoy this and all our radio programs. If you are listening on YouTube, like, subscribe, and share it. Don't forget to visit the Sanitas store, where you can purchase pure organic sulfur, earthing and grounding products, supplements, our USB drive with all our shows, gift certificates, rebounders, and much more. Now, join me in the Sanitas member section to enjoy the rest. Thank you.